Today's Shir in Mishnah Berurah Yomi is technically Samach Gimel Omid Beis. However, we're actually going to be doing the letters Tes and Yud from the Mishnah Sofrim. This is our fifth Shir on the Mishnah Sofrim, and this can be found in actuality on page 124, which is Samach Beis Omid Beis in the Dear Shir Mishnah Berurah. We will spend a short time on the Tzura, on the shape of the Tes and the Yud, and then we'll have our third Chazorah Shir in Tefillin. So the Chofetz Chaim writes that the letter Tes is composed of Harosh Hayimini, has two parts to it. The right-sided part is really Tiyakofuv Ma'at L'socha, has to turn back in a little bit on itself. The top of the right side of the Tes folds back in a little bit on the letter Tes, and V'lo Yakofuv Harbi, but not too much so. In the Bir Halacha, he goes through great details to define what's considered not too much and not too little, and we leave that for the Sofrim and those interested to go over in more detail. The left side of the letter Tes, Vaharosh Hasmali Tia Kizayin. The left side of the Tes has the appearance of the letter Zayin, and actually has the Tagim on the top like the letter Zayin. On the right head, however, Rosh Hayamini, that should be curved, Agul, like a Vav, but there are no Tagim on the top. The right side on the bottom, Gam Lemato Mitzad Hayamini Tia Agul, is also curved, and its picture is like a Kaf and a Zayin together. That is the entire letter Tes. All of this is Eino Ma'akev B'diyeved. None of these are absolute requirements B'diyeved. As long as it has the standard appearance of a Tes, without these additions that I just mentioned, it still would be kosher B'diyeved. One does have to be very, very careful, however. The top right side of the Tes and the left side of the Tes, the Zion top head, shouldn't be touching each other. There must be a clear space in between the two sides. If they meet with each other, then it would be possible. Then the Chofetz Chaim discusses the appearance of the letter Yud. The Yud is a very complex letter, although it seems very simple, in that there are a lot of details about the letter Yud, and there's a lot of potential problems with the letter Yud if it's not the right shape and size. He starts off and he says that the shear for the letter Yud has to be melo kulmus echad velo yosir. It has to be a certain size, the size of the kulmus, but not more than that, because if it's more than that, it's going to problematically look like other letters. Especially, it will look like the letter Resh, possibly, if it's too big. It should be written straight, which means the Hainu Shitia Rosha Upaneo Shavim. The head and the face should be equal in size. And the top part should be rounded on the right side, at least L'chatchila. The right-sided leg extending downwards should be somewhat slanted towards the left side. And it shouldn't be too long. It should be short and not long at all, that it shouldn't look like the letter Vav if it's too long. There's a small tag katon milamalo al poneha, small little tag on the top left side going upwards vertically. And likewise, there's a little oketz katon, a very tiny little tag that comes out from the bottom of the top left part of the letter Yud, coming out from the underneath part of the top left part. And that oketz should be much shorter than a regular tag. It should also The little tag must be much shorter, extending down, much less than the right-sided leg of the letter Yud. Otherwise, it will appear like the letter Ches. Again, as I mentioned, there are many, many details with all the osios that we haven't gone into. We're just getting a very, very basic understanding, a very, very superficial understanding. Ayin Shom for much more detail, both in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Mishnah Sofrim, as well as in the Dirshu footnotes. Now we'll go to Chazorah Shir 3 on Tefillin. We're still chazering a little bit in Siman Chav Zayin, and it's very important that the Ritzuos, Halach L'Moshe B'Sinai, have to be colored black, and only the external surface has to be colored black, and one should be careful not to have, especially on the Shel Rosh, the part that encircles the head, that the part that is not black should be facing towards the hair, towards the brain, the head, but the part that is black has to be on the external surface. The Ritzuos that come out of the Dalet then should be going on the front of the body. The longer side should be on your right side, which goes down to at least the umbilicus and the belly button, and the other side should be a little bit higher than that on the left. It can go longer on both sides, but one shouldn't have it go too long because then one can step on it accidentally when one's sitting down, and it shouldn't be too short, l'chatchila, but as long as it extends out at least two tefachim, it's okay. The width of the Ritzuos of both the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh should be the size of at least a Sa'ora, a barley corn. One doesn't have to replace ever the knots of the tefillin, the yud and the dalid. They can stay there permanently. There was an opinion that we brought down that said that it should be really made every day, but we don't paskin like that, and one can leave them on the entire period of time that the tefillin exists as long as they remain kosher. The ritzuos, where they're knotted, are an especially prone place for them to lose their blackness, and one should be careful to make sure that the area of the knots it remains black. There was an opinion that said that both sides can be colored black, but that's not our minhag to do so today because of a concern either of a chatzitza or because it's not really a beautification because nobody sees the inner aspect. As I mentioned, the width of the ritzuos is about a seora. If you put that into our modern terms, it's about a half an inch, maybe a little bit less, about a centimeter. Though it's preferable to go a little bit larger than that to about 11 millimeters to be yotzei all the deos. On the smaller end, you can go down to about 0.9 centimeters, about a little bit more than a third of an inch, and still make a bracha on it. If it's smaller than that, you should put it on, but not make a bracha. Technically, one doesn't have to keep the tefillin shayat covered, but the minhag is to keep it covered because it's a personal os for you. La'achal la'os, v'lo li'acherim li'os. But that's really brought down to tell you the location of it, but if one doesn't keep it covered, one is still yotzei with it. When you are covering up your tefillin shayad with your sleeve, as we already pointed out, one should make sure that the shorosh is fully in its place and you've done the complete windings even on your hand before you go and lower the sleeve over your tefillin or put your jacket on over your tefillin, because that's not an essential part of the hanocha of tefillin, whereas the windings on the fingers, as well as, of course, the shorosh, are essential parts of the bracha and essential parts of the tefillin. Nothing should interrupt between the start and the finish of putting on the tefillin. The shorosh, on the other hand, has to be totally visible. It shouldn't be covered up, because the Torah says, "V'ro kol ami ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikro alecha," and Chazal tell us that's the tefillin shorosh. When people wear their tefillin, their talus over their tefillin, they should make sure that the entire tefillin isn't covered up. Only the top and the sides are allowed to be covered up. You wear it like in a tent, as we explained, and that the front should certainly be visible. In Simon Chav Ches, we talk about the halachos of taking off the tefillin. One constantly has to be reminded that he's wearing the tefillin, and that's why we touch the tefillin in various times during the davening. And in general, one should constantly be aware and touch the tefillin to make sure that they remain in their right place and that you shouldn't lose consciousness of that you're wearing the tefillin. You should constantly have in mind and not be mesiach das from the tefillin while you're wearing them. One certainly shouldn't act in a lighthearted fashion or in a joking, jocular fashion while one is wearing their tefillin. Even if they're doing work while they're wearing their tefillin, which you're technically allowed to do, you should be very conscious and aware of the importance of wearing the tefillin and not say incorrect comments, Rachmana Litzlan, not use inappropriate language or inappropriate thoughts. When you do touch the tefillin, you should touch the shayad first and then touch the shorosh. Some were concerned that if your hands were nearer to the shorosh, you then would be mavir and alamitzos. And some have the custom that if your hand was near the shorosh, you touch the shorosh, then you touch the shayad, and then you touch the shorosh again. So you maintain the order of shayad, shorosh, and you've also not been a problem of mavir alamitzos. After the completion of davening, when you take off the tefillin, you first take off the wrappings around your hand, but you then leave the tefillin on your forearm, as well as, of course, on the biceps for the shoyad, and you take off the shorosh, because, again, we have the concept that v'hoyu l'totofos b'neinecha should only be when ukshartim lios hayodecha. So you always have to have your tefillah shoyad on your biceps when you're wearing the shorosh, and that's why we put on the shorosh afterwards, and we take it off first. As we also pointed out, everyone stands up when they take off the tefillin shorosh. It's a machlokis Ashkenazim and Sfardim, whether you also do that for the shoyad. Ashkenazim stand, Sfardim sit. Likewise, one should take off his talus while he's standing up, and we, of course, take off our tefillin before we take off our talus. To show our reluctance to part with this mitzvah, many have the custom that when they take off their shorosh, they take it off with their weaker hand, with their left hand, in order to, again, display a sadness that you have to take off the tefillin because, unfortunately, we can't keep our mind and body clean and wear them all day like we're technically supposed to. Obviously, this really only applies to shorosh. It's very difficult to take off your shoyad with anything other than the hand that you're not wearing the shoyad on. When one puts away one's tefillin, one should be careful to make sure that the shorosh will be behind the shoyad. So the first thing you do when the next day when you put on your tefillin will be to touch your shoyad, so you shouldn't have the problem of mavir and alamitzos if you were to first come into contact with your shorosh. But unlike with the talus and tefillin, where we said you're supposed to put on your talus first, but if you come into contact with your tefillin, you actually put on the tefillin first. Here, if you come into contact with your shorosh before your shoyad, you don't put on the shorosh. You first put it down and put on the shoyad, and then you put on the shorosh. So that's why one should be be especially careful not to have to be concerned with passing over the mitzvah of the Shel Rosh in order to put it on the Shel Yad first. Make sure that however you put away your tefillin, that the Shel Yad will always be the one that is accessed first the next morning. If one is putting on both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, this is especially important to make sure that you come into contact first with the Rashi tefillin. And if you do come into contact with the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, again, you put on the Rashi tefillin first. That's why most people have separate containers for Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, so they shouldn't get mixed up together. It can often be then problematic to tell them apart. Not looking for the Se'or HaEgel, the different place where in the Shel Rosh, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin have the hair of the eagle coming out. But that's sometimes not so easily seen, certainly if you're not looking for it or not aware of it. And therefore, one should be very careful to make sure that his Rashi tefillin are demarcated from his Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. But you can't write or do anything on the tefillin itself. You put it into a box or a container, a tefillin zekel, that clearly is marked Rashi and tefillin, but you're not allowed to mark on the tefillin themselves Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam. It's very nice to make a beautiful talis and tefillin bag, laharos kavod v'chibul mitzvah, to show and demonstrate your honor and your love for the mitzvah. Many have the custom when they wind up and wrap up the tefillin, they don't wrap them directly on the ketzitza, on the bias itself, because the ritzua, as holy as it is, has less kedusha than the bias, but they'll wrap the tefillin on the sides of the batim, on the titura. And this also is a famous gemara with Elisha, Baal Kinafayim, who anes occurred to Elisha when he was running away from the Roman conquistador, and he was wearing tefillin when he wasn't allowed to. The Roman came after him, and he said, "Look, what do you have in your hand?" And he'd taken off his tefillin, and he said, "It's a bird, a dove." And when he opened his hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes, so that's why we wrapped the tefillin in the form of a dove's wings on the sides of the box and not on the box itself. You should make sure that you're wrapping the tefillin around the titura and not moving the titura and holding the ritzua steady. It's not kavod for the tzitza, for the tefillin box itself, to be moved, and the ritzua standing still, but the ritzua should be moved and wrapped around the tefillin box. When you take the tefillin out, you shouldn't roll them out, you should take them out, you shouldn't let them fall out, and likewise, you should hold on to the bias and undo the straps, as opposed to holding on to the straps and letting the bias fall from it, like roll away from it. One should be very careful not to let the ritzuas touch the ground. This is a very common mistake when people take them on or take them off. The kedusha of the ritzuas is very significant, and they should never be stepped on, certainly. That's why it's not good to have them too long. And when one is taking them on and taking them off, one should be careful that they lie the ritzuas on a table or in a chair and not have them fall to the floor, as unfortunately it's easy to happen. In order to show our love for the tefillin, many people kiss the tefillin, the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, before they put them on, and when they take them off, there is a concern, would this theoretically be a hefsek? You kiss the Shel Yad before you make the bracha, no problem, but then you're going to kiss the Shel Rosh, so you haven't went to put on your head yet, so it's theoretically a hefsek, but the great Gedolim of Paskin, that this is not considered a hefsek. One can kiss their Shel Rosh before they put it on. It's not a hefsek. One should try to wrap the tefillin themselves and not let somebody else do this. Again, this demonstrates your personal love and desire to do the mitzvah. Of course, if one can't, or if one is training a young child and show him the chibuv to love the mitzvah, so then that would be acceptable. Simon Chavtes is a very short simon, and that was that one doesn't make a bracha when one takes off the tefillin, even though in the times of the Gemara they did. But we don't make a bracha on a regular weekday when we take them off, and not even on Erev Shabbos. If we take them off, Bein HaShmashos, we don't make a bracha on taking off the tefillin. The reason why there was a custom to make a bracha was because from the Pasuk, Miyamim Yamima, they would only wear the tefillin theoretically during the day. There's an opinion that Laila Lavzman tefillin hu, and therefore, to demonstrate that we no longer are able to wear our tefillin, they would say, we wore our tefillin, now we're taking them off, we're fulfilling the mitzvah of only wearing them during the day. We don't paskin like that, technically, and our custom is that we do not make a bracha when we take off our tefillin. Some try bedavka to take them off towards the end of Avodah Zarah, because the words at the end of Avodah Zarah are similar to the nusach of the bracha of taking off the tefillin. However, that, again, many disagree and say you should leave on the tefillin until the very end of the last Kaddish. Finally, we pointed out there are specific times in the davening when people have the custom to touch the Shel Yad, touch the Shel Rosh, kiss their hand then, or touch it with the ritzua, touch it with the tzitzis. All of these are done to demonstrate our love for the tefillin. There's certain times in the davening when this is especially appropriate to, certainly when you're saying, Kuchartim leosa yadecha, vayulutot tefos beinenecha, but also various other times in the davening. We spoke about that. These are very beautiful customs, and each person should follow the customs that he's been taught. This will conclude today's shiur.